The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Let's say good morning to our neighbors to the left and to the right. Amen and amen. So this morning we are in the second part of our teaching on walking of miracles. Walking of miracles. I pray that you will walk miracles in the name of Jesus. That God will walk miracles through your hands. In the name of Jesus, God will work miracles through your life. In the name of Jesus. When we looked at this last week, I want to encourage you to go and listen, you know, to that teaching. It's just about 30 minutes. So just listen and make sure you get this concept, because your case is going to be outstanding in your generation and in this generation in the name of Jesus. Your situation is going to be phenomenal to the glory of God in the name of Jesus. So there are two parts to that word, to the phrase, walking of miracles. There are two main active parts to walking of miracles. The first is walking. The other is miracles. So you see, in walking of miracles, there are two parts. There is the walking, the work that has to be done, or to be clear, the work that has to be done. For clarity, not walk, the work that has to be done, and then the miracles that has to be done. So we do the work. We do the work, and God does the miracles. We do the work, God does the miracles. And you see, that is big. It appears obvious, but from the phrase, but it is big in the sense that many people actually miss it. You do the work, God does the miracles. The challenge is that some of us want God to do the work and do the miracles. We expect God to do the work and miracles. In fact, sometimes, you know, when engaging with people, it's clear that they actually think that when God does the work, then the miracles happen. So they think that God just does the work and then they receive the miracles, and that is the working of miracles. No. The working of miracles is that there is a work part and there is the miraculous part. The work part is man's part. It's your part. The miraculous part is God's part. You see, we cannot do God's part, and God will not do our part. Mostly. And you need to realize that. That is how the whole thing is set up. If we understand that, that is how the ordinances of heaven and the rulings of things, the workings of things, that's how they are set up. God put man to cooperate with him. So when we understand that, we begin to ask the right questions. And when we begin to ask the right questions, boom, miracles happen. Because we begin to do the right things and engage in the right way. Another fallacy, you know, is is people that think that they are the miracle workers. You know, some people think that they perform miracles, that they perform miracles to the extent sometimes to which the gift and the grace that God has given them. But they don't realize that it is God that is at work in us, both to will and to do. Even people that don't know God, God is at the back, as it were, orchestrating things. So let no man deceive himself. No man by himself can perform miracles. No man by himself can perform miracles. Just understand that. So there's a God part and there's a man part. I mean, you must have heard me say that sentence repeatedly if you've been with us for a while. There is a God part. There is a man part. Whatever you are trusting God for, there is a God part, there is a man part. You cannot do God's part. God will not do your part. So, Pastor, what are you saying? Are you suggesting that I have a part to play? Absolutely. Are you suggesting that if I don't do and engage my part, things may not turn out the way they should? Absolutely. You see, when we realize, and that is what is behind the book, the winning book, is to emphasize that you are the general of your life, that you are the what? The general of your life. And that means that you need to do what you need to do and let God do what He needs to do. So there's a cooperation. There's a collaboration. It's a collabo with God. Your life is a collabo. And you need to embrace that truth. Otherwise, you may struggle. So, okay, Pastor, can you show me in the Bible? I mean, where it is written like that? I know there are scriptures that infer that. Can you show me? Of course, I will. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. It says, Paul was saying that, for we are laborers together with God. We are co-laborers with God. What does that mean? You are laboring. God is doing His own. You know, we are partners. We are co-laborers. To labor is to work, is to engage, is to have responsibilities. But we are co. In other words, it is not a sole partnership, sole proprietorship, or however it's phrased. It is a partnership. If you have a partnership, a business that's a partnership, and you are doing all the work and your other partner is just waiting and to collect profit at the end of the day. He's just, you know, living large, going to Paris. Oh, you know, you're just waiting. As the revenue, as the money come, as the, you know, pounds, dollars, have they come in? Give me my share. He jets out. He doesn't put it in the work. He doesn't do what he's supposed to do. Even if it is connections, he doesn't do it, doesn't provide it. You begin to rethink that partnership. You begin to say, monkey they work, baboon they chop. You know? You know, so that is how, and I said that right, you know, for those of you that think I can't speak pidgin. You know, and that is why it is so important that your situation is not, you don't have a mindset of monkey the work, baboon the chop. So you want to be the baboon. You just want to be chopping. And God is saying, no, it's a partnership. We are co-laborers. There are aspects of your life that until you get up, nothing happens. Until you engage, nothing happens. You say, but Pastor, Jesus has paid the price. God has made the provision. The provision is available. But the engagement has not been activated. So you must do your part to labor with God. Also means that not only for you to do your part, you must know what to do. You must know what to do. You must know what to do. And that is usually when you begin to grow in the things of God. When God brings something to pass, it is not like manna. You know what manna means? What is it? You have no clue. It is not repeatable. You cannot repeat it. You don't understand the process. You see, and that is like wilderness stuff. But God wants you to, quote unquote, enter your promised land where you know the process. You know that you are going to plant, then you are going to reap. And there's a season of planting. There's a season of waiting. There's a season of cultivating. There's a season of harvest. Hallelujah. These foundations and principles position you for a life of endless miracles. Endless miracles. You have to know what to do. You have to know. Knowing what to do means knowing the ways of God. Means knowing the ways of God. Psalm 103 verse 7 says, He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the children of Israel. The acts are the things that we see that happens. The thing, the acts. So you cannot the acts or see the acts of God. Oh, God did this in my life. Praise the Lord. Can you repeat it? Can you repeat it? Can you walk with God and do it again? That God will do it again is you walking with God and doing it again. It is not an accident. It is not an accident. It, you understand as a son how the engagement of your father is and how the process is, so you can say, God will do it again. God will do it. There are things that people have seen God do in their lives that they cannot say God will do it again, because they don't even know how He did it. Apart from they will beg Him, God, I beg, I beg, I beg. That is why you're begging me. Get up, do what you need to do. Activate the ordinances and watch things happen. There are ways in the supernatural. There are ways in the spiritual of engaging and moving things to work in your favor. Job 38 verse 35 says, do you know the laws of the universe? Another translation says, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you use them to regulate the earth? If you know the ordinances of heaven, you will use them to regulate the earth. If you know the ordinances of heaven, you will use them to regulate the earth. So to know the ways of God is so powerful. It means that you can repeat the acts of God, or you can make the acts of God repeatable. And it's so powerful. And as believers, it's not just to know a formula. To know the ways of God is to know His heart. It's to know the heart of God. Psalm 103 verse 7 that we read says, He revealed His character to Moses. So that way is His character. Is His character to Moses. His deeds to the people of Israel. There are certain things that maybe hanging out with friends sometimes. This used to happen a lot back in the day. And I'll just say to them, we'll be talking and then, oh, maybe we need to fast and we need to pray or we need to do this. And I'll tell them, God is not in that direction. God is in that direction. And sometimes they are like, what is even wrong with you? We've not even prayed. How did you know? And I laugh. I said, how did I know? How did I know? Because I know His ways. And there are certain things that if you work with people that know the ways of God, there are things they do sometimes that blow your mind. That you think, but the ways of God are past finding. You know, and when he reveals them to you and you walk in them, you become an enigma. So if you know just the formula, the ordinances, you will get results though. If you don't know his heart, but you can lose your soul. If you just know the ordinances and you don't know his heart, you can get results. Because principles are no respecter of persons. You can get results, but you can lose your soul. That's why it says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? You can actually be wealthy. There are wealthy people that don't know God, but they know these principles and they operate it. But they just do it innately, right? But the results are inevitable. They know the ways of God. So, pastor, but they don't know God, yeah. So, what's the point of amassing everything? You are the wealthiest man on earth. You live for 100 years. Then you are in eternity apart from God for thousands and thousands and forever. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So if you know the formula as it flows from the heart, you will never be stranded. If you know the formula as it flows from his heart, you will never be stranded. That's why when the enemy said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. To come into sonship is to come into a place where you know the ways of your Father. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus could say, yes, I'm the Son of God. I know how to do it. I'll turn this stone into bread. But he knows that that is not the heart of his Father. So the fact that you can do something does not mean you should do it if it's not the heart of your Father. That's what separates a son from a bastard. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, hallelujah, that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. So, that's how miracles work. This season of full measure is a season of harvest to the full. And a harvest is a miracle. A harvest is a miracle. Your part is to know what to do. His part is to bring the rain. You see, it is a collabo. A harvest is a miracle. To produce an abundant harvest, we must know God's ways. The formula is heart, the planting season to an abundant harvest. So think about your life. What abundant harvest do you want to see in your life, in your finances, spiritually, in your home, concerning your business, in your career? What abundant harvest do you want to see? All you need is the ways of God to the abundant harvest. That's all you need to do. To know the ways of God to the abundant harvest. Then you go ahead and walk miracles. So, if you know the ways of God, and I pray he will reveal his ways to you, all you need to do is now then go ahead and walk the miracles. Now, here is the key. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:6 that I have planted, Apollos have watered, but God gave the increase. That statement, if you get it, your life will change forever. I have planted. It's an equation. It's a mathematical equation hidden in that statement. Apollos have watered, but God gave the increase. And another translation says, let me break it down. Another translation says that my job was to plant the seed, and Apollos was called to water it. Any growth, that's the voice translation, any growth comes from God. My job is to plant. Apollo's job is to water. Any growth you see comes from God. Some people can't wrap their mind around that. That if I'm the one that planted and Apollos has watered, then it's Apollos and I that takes the glory. Do you know it's possible to plant and to water and there will be no growth? Do you know that? So the supernatural is waiting for you to plant. And is waiting for your Apollos to water. So you're saying, Pastor, yeah, if you don't plant, and let's say the supernatural is the rain, the rain is a part of the supernatural, comes on the land, there will be nothing to grow. And that is your part. Another tradition says that I planted the seed in your heart. Now, in your heart, it brings a dimension to it of the place of planting. Anyhow, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. So we see three components immediately. The first is the planting. I planted. The second is the soil. Your heart. When it comes to the word of God, right? It applies to everything else. The third is the right conditions. Apollo water. Apollo watered. It talks about the right condition. If Apollo needs to fertilize, too, Apollo fertilizes. If Apollo needs to create a green room, Apollo create a green. Do you understand? But Apollo watered. So what's the formula? The formula is this: right seed plus right soil plus right conditions equals abundant harvest. Boom. You can see the grace. So, Pastor, what you're saying is that for me to walk the supernatural, for me to experience a supernatural harvest in my life, I must find the right seed. Yes. Then that right seed must find the right soil. Yes. And that right soil must meet the right condition. Seed and soil must be in the right condition. Yes. Then abundant harvest happens. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at it, that is how it works. In whatever area you want abundant harvest, in your spiritual growth, for spiritual growth, ask yourself, what is the right seed? What is the right soil? What are the right conditions? For your finances, ask yourself, what is the right seed? What is the right soil? What are the right conditions? For your matrimonial harmony, what is the right seed? For your career, what is the right seed? If you want to see souls saved for Jesus, what is the right seed? What is the right soil? What are the right conditions? Apply it across board in your academics. What is the right seed? The right seed is the hours you spend reading. The right soil is the right text that you are reading. And the right condition is making sure that you are well rested, you are not encumbered, you know, worrying about, you know, feeding your parents, you know, maybe you take so many things out of the way. Boom. So again, we cannot do God's part and God will not do our part. So like, look at the equation again. Bring up the equation. Right seed, right soil, right condition equals abundant harvest. You're like, so all that is my part now. All that is man's part. Where is God's part in this? Think about it. Look at the equation. Where is God's part? Let me give you 2 seconds. Where is God's part? God's part is the equal sign. That equal sign to abundance, that's God's part. That's God's part because it doesn't have to be equal part. There are some people that they put the right seed in the right soil, in the right atmosphere, and the equality is not equality. It is not equal to, that's what is there, not equal to abundance, harvest. For some people, right seed, right soil, right condition, it is a less than sign that is there. Less than. So there are devoured harvests. There are infested harvests. There are stolen harvests. There are little harvests. There are no harvests. You will not have devoured harvest in the name of Jesus. You will not have infected harvests in the name of Jesus. You will not have stolen harvests in the name of Jesus. You will not have little harvest in the name of Jesus. And you will not have no harvest in the name of Jesus. The equal sign to abundant harvest is God's pact. Right seed, right soil, right condition. Nobody can put that equality sign to only God can do that to abundant harvest. Think about any area. I've talked about education. Think about finances, for instance. The concept of tithing, and this is big. This is big. And that's why the enemy will attack certain principles to limit Christians, the Christian influence as a kingdom on earth. Says when you tithe, God says that this, I will make this formula work. Now, some people think the tithe is the seed. The tithe is not the seed. You don't give, you give seeds. You don't give your tithe. You pay your tithe. Because it's not yours. It is in honor of God. Now, let me explain this. The tithe is not the seed. The seed is what you give outside of the tithe. So what is the tithe? Your seed, okay, let's even look at it this way. Your seed can be your labor on your farm. Do you know it's just your seed? Your labor on your farm, your labor at work, your labor in business. You have the right seed. You have the right soil, you have the right condition. It says that, see if I will not open the windows of heaven. That equal to sign is the tithe. It guarantees the tithe. The tithe guarantees the equal to sign. It says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You will not have a devoured harvest. And test me in this and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour down that blessing that there will not be enough room to contain. So the tithe is that equal to sign or guarantees that equal to sign. If you are working with God and you engage God in the covenant of tithing, and in our own case, beyond that, the governors of wealth, you can beat your chest and go to sleep. You see, there are certain things that when you get into them, people that are not into them, they look at you and they say, oh, you are just arrogant, you are just this, you're just that. I'm sorry if I'm coming across as arrogant, that's what you should say. But if you know, you know. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3:7, the next verse now says that it is not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God gives the harvest. God makes the seed grow. That is why we give him all the glory for it. Sometimes people are like, but I worked hard though. I don't know. I'm a self-made millionaire. I can't give God glory. Do you know what I did too? I worked hard. I'm talking about people that even worked and made money legitimately. I worked hard for it. God is the most important thing. You see, God loves you. And you see, he wants you to have abundant harvest. But he wants you to never forget who brings the harvest. God wants you to never forget who brings the harvest. This is the season of full measure. You will experience full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in the name of Jesus. This is another translation. The voice says that, so that the ones who water and plant have nothing to brag about. God who causes the growth is the only one who matters. So if you hear people that know how to operate this talk, it may appear that they are bragging, but see, there's nothing to brag about. There's nothing to brag about. Because it is God that brings that harvest. So you need to realize that it is God that brings the harvest. But there's the man part and there's the God part. I want to pray with you today. You're like, Pastor, I want to know this God. I want to come into relationship with this King. We'll pray with you in a bit. The harper is going to come up and we'll pray with you. Then the second group of people that the harper will pray with are those that you are seeing that, the seed has been infected. You need prayers concerning the seed that has been infected. It needs to be right. Even if it's physical fruitfulness, did you know that taking too much alcohol or too much sugar infect, destroy your seed? It does. It could be the soil. Do you know that there are certain things that brings hormonal imbalance and makes the soil to receive that fertility seed not ready for it? Or sometimes the soil even kills the seed. Did you know? You need to pray that God will open your eyes. How to water. Did you know that the words you speak, the words that come out of your mouth, is watering the seeds of your life? For some of you, you are pouring acid. Acid. You are pouring acid on the seed of your children. You are pouring acid on your finances. And you are crying to God. Your words, Oroyoda. Oroyoda. let me say it to you. Your words are bad. You cannot speak so badly. Then say, okay, I'm sorry. A good miracle happen. You have destroyed the seed already. So what do you want to do about that? What do you want to do? You need prayers. The app is going to come forward. I pray for all these different categories. Let's start with first category. Pastor, pray with me. Pray with me. I want to surrender to Jesus. The app, over to you.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for everyone that's surrendering to you at this moment, physically here or online. Lord, we ask that because they have surrendered to you willingly, because they have come to you, Father, not because they can, but because you have called them, Lord, breathe upon their lives in the name of Jesus. Let your spirit come alive in them today. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that as your spirit comes alive in them, they will never go back in the name of Jesus. Honor and glory we give unto you, Lord. For in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. Now, for the other categories that Pastor mentioned, I'd like us to all be on our feet, please. You see, the thing about a corrupt seed is in agriculture, and I believe if the seed is bad, it's bad. You have to uproot it. But the word of God says in Matthew 19, it says 26, it says, but with God everything is possible. So God does not need to uproot a seed for him to do a miracle to repair or replace the seed. So, I mean, the pastor called a couple of categories. If you're struggling with any, as we begin to worship, talk to God. As we begin to worship, you sent your word and you healed my disease. You are the Lord,
Ask for the Spirit of God to give you instructions.
If there's any area, I mean, you can put your hand on your chest, you can put your hand on your head, whatever it is that you are believing God for. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for your Spirit. Father, even as we are gathered unto you, praying this prayer of agreement in your name. Father, for everyone that's believing you, in whatever seed that has been infected, whatever seed that is damaged or corrupt, Lord, we declare today that in full measure you will bring forth restoration. Father, we speak to those that carry sickle cell. For your word says, with you nothing shall be impossible. Lord, we ask that today put a new song in their mouths. Father, we speak to those that have issues with their reproductive systems, whether female or male. Lord, we declare your word. Because your word heals our diseases. Father, we speak to those bodies in the name of Jesus. We declare, Lord, that you bring restoration in full measure. In the name of Jesus. Father, we speak to those that are suffering from depression, from whatever experiences they may have had. Every trauma, Lord, that has been a hindrance in the life of your people, every trauma that's causing depression, that is causing your people to act like they have damaged seeds in their minds. Father, we declare healing today. We declare restoration. You sent your word and you healed my disease. Let's begin to say thank you to the Lord.
You are the Lord.
Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Father, thank you for restoration. Ah, Maleka Sayele Bodo Bayataye. Ah, Father, we thank you. Hallelujah.